to cry for the lost. I pray that when we leave this church house this morning, we'll have a fresh burden from the Lord. Hallelujah. Heaviness down in our heart for the lost souls, men and women, boys and girls, lost without God. I titled that. I got up at 10 minutes after 5 this morning saying, God, help me, Lord, for the Sunday school. This would not leave me. This about 2 different scriptures would not leave me. I wrote a poem several years ago, Satan's Wide Road. Today I stood before 2 roads. I pondered in my heart, which way should I go? Take the road on the left, Satan did say. Most of the world is going that way. I saw the multitudes of people, both young and old, and I watched them as they traveled down that wide road. Old gray-haired mommies and daddies with faces that looked so stern. All their life was spent in sin. About their soul, they weren't concerned. Now their steps are slow and feeble, and soon they'll go to a Christless grave. Oh, how they'll wish that they had repented when God says, depart on the judgment day. Then there came another generation of people after the old ones passed by. These were the middle-aged, only in their prime. Their steps seemed secure and their eyes were full of pride. Bigger homes, better cars, and the wealth of the world filled their minds. They too weren't concerned about their soul and judgment time. As I stood there, tears filled my eyes when I saw the next generation come passing by. Millions of young people, tender and young, they were looking and searching for pleasure and fun. Loud music and laughter filled the air. Drugs, alcohol, and partying were everywhere. This is America's youth, so careless and free. They too were lost and headed for eternity. As I still pondered which road to take, I noticed that all these people were headed one way. I watched them as they all went out of sight. Suddenly they seemed to vanish in the darkness of night. I heard them screaming and crying at the end of that road as the multitudes plunged into the flames and the smoke. I made my choice then. That road wasn't for me. I will follow my Jesus, and I'll be one of His sheep. Raise your hand and wave it to Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. I stood in front of that casket Monday. Virginia's husband, Walter, had 13 brothers and sisters. He's 14 kids. All 14 were lost. That one died, they found him dead in bed. It was a brother. As I stood in front of that casket, my heart bled for those people. You know what I preached on? The judgment bar of God. Death and hell. I reached to their soul with everything that I could reach. They had never gotten together and got a picture, a family portrait together with all 14. But they put one of his in the casket. And all of them at the funeral home got together. And somebody got a camera and took all 13's picture. And there was that photograph inside of that coffin with 13 brothers and sisters. And now one of them is dead and gone. And it looked like he died lost by all. I was thinking as I reached to that family. Coming to Sunday school this morning, I passed two accidents that had happened in the past. I'm talking about months ago. And the skid marks from the rubber on the tires of this race car. This hot rod this man had, he was in his 50s. Little did he know when he'd go around the curve that the wheel would slip off on the right side of the shoulder of the road and hit into the gravels. And he would overreact and jerk the wheel back. Months ago, back early, before spring, those skid marks are still there as I passed this morning. A grim reminder that you can be here around right now and around the curve and next curve in life's road. You could be dead and gone. Oh, Lord. Died lost without God, a hot rod. Come on, and I'm telling about this happened this year. I come into a long straight stretch on Route 75 coming to church. And there's a wreath of flowers and a cross over here next to the telephone pole where this boy thought that he could pass this car with ease in that big straight stretch. And when he started out, there was a car coming up on the other end. And he jerked it over too fast. And he clipped the bumper on the car in front of him. He was trying to pass. Ruthie, he lost control of that car. And that car slammed into that telephone pole and brought the whole pole down up on the highway. Died lost without God. A young teenager. I'm telling you this morning. People are dying by the car loads and they're dying by the train loads. People, oh Lord, lifting up their eyes in torment. Oh God, in a devil's hell, oh Lord. The only hope, Brother Gary's on this side of eternity. The only hope that we ever have of making it right is on this side of the grave. Crying out to Jesus to save our soul. You'll never see that man's car again. You'll never sit behind the steering wheel again. There'll be an empty place at the table. You'll never have to wake him up again. He'll never lie in his own bed. But there is another place where he is now. People call their properties by their own name. And they build their wealth and their riches. And they have their cars and their fine homes. But oh, when they die, they leave it all behind. When God calls, we got to answer. I said, nobody knows when God's going to call for you. Oh, Lord, as I preach to them, it is appointed unto me and wants to die. And after this, the judgment. People are forgetting that the lives that they're living, that they're going to answer to God for everything that they've done and everything that they've said and every place that they've went, every deed that they've ever committed. There's coming a judgment day, a white throne judgment. And he that sat upon the throne, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no more place for them. And as the books are being opened and the books of works are opened, and at another book is being opened, the Lamb's book of life, and the dead were judged out of those books according to their deeds, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they all stood before God. My God, give us a burden this morning, Lord, and give us a cry for the lost. Hallelujah. Edna told me last night that her son is supposed to be here tonight in the service. He's a lost soul, never been saved before. How many could raise your hand and say, God, put an intercessory prayer upon me and let me pray pray it through, dear God. And give me that intercessory prayer. And give me that burden, God, for the lost. Brother Raymond, we need it right now more than we've ever needed it. We need a cry from the depths of our soul for the lost men and women, boys and girls. Our families are going straight into hell. They're doing 100 miles an hour down that wide road of destruction. Headed closer and closer to the flames and the smoke. And they don't realize some of them's already got one foot in the grave and the other is already beginning to slip in. I'm telling you, they're on uneven ground. Hallelujah. And their steps are slipping. My God, their feet are going to go out from under them. And they're going to go down the steepest grade that they've ever been down. My Lord, and they'll never be able to stop when the death angel gets a hold of them and begins to drag them down into the nether parts of this earth. Beneath our feet this morning, there is a place of darkness, outer darkness. And it's a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place called hell with literal flames. And seems like people they're not scared anymore. They don't fear God anymore. They wear the signs and the bumper stickers upon the car. No fear or fear this. But I'm going to tell you who we ought to fear. We ought to fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Hallelujah this morning. Time is swiftly running out. If God could tell us this morning, it would shock us how close it is. That door of mercy is just barely open. It used to be wide open. God. The times of the Gentiles is just about complete. And God's getting ready to turn back to the Jews. The door of grace is still open. And it's swinging up on the hinges of mercy. But it's beginning to close and close fast. What we've got to do, we better do it fast. God's beginning to deal with me, Brother Josh, about the people that I work with. I take it for granted going in, putting 8, 12 hours in and coming home. And some of them I haven't witnessed to for a long time. I've witnessed. But God said, don't you think it's time to go back again? Don't you think it's time to go back to them again? Don't you think it's time to go back to them again? And tell them that I love them. And tell them to get saved. Holy, holy. We are living in an evil time when millions are lost without God. These are the days of Sodom and Gomorrah that Jesus warned would come at the time of the end. It's also as it was in the days of Noah right before the destroying flood came and swept all the sinners away. People in this age are building bigger buildings. They're eating, they're drinking, they're buying, they're selling, they're planning, and they're building. They're marrying, and they're giving into marriage. Violence is one of the signs of the coming of the Lord. Violence has filled the earth today, folks. People's imaginations and hearts are evil continually. The world is not ready for the coming of Jesus. They're not looking. They have no thought of God or eternity. They have no concern for their soul. People living for today and they have no thoughts for tomorrow. What if the sun don't come up in the morning and the Lord comes at midnight as a thief in the night? How many of our loved ones are not ready? How many will be lost and left behind? Souls are perishing. People are dying lost all around us. And we, the church, must reach them before it's too late. We need the Lord to show us this world as He sees it. We have lost the burden we used to have. We must have a vision restored to our hearts. You know what brought revival back in the 40s and in the 50s? World War I had just ended and World War II came. Parents were losing their children in the war. Millions were losing their lives and the blood was being shed across the world in World War II. It drove America to her knees. And they got a hold of God and they cried out to God. They prayed day and night. They kept the church doors open day and night. As people prayed for their husbands and people prayed for their children overseas. And it brought one of the biggest revivals where millions of souls were ushered into the kingdom of God and swept in by a revival. But it seems like nothing now is stirring anybody. We can have planes flying into the Pentagon and bringing two skyscrapers to the ground, 105 stories each covering 16 acres of ground, 100 and some stories up. Missiles, planes turned into missiles and bring them right down to the ground. 3,000 and some people died, and probably the most of them went right in from the flames of the fuel of those planes, the thousands of gallons that they carried, turned them buildings into a living inferno. It was so hot, it actually melted some of the metal. The beams of those buildings twisted, and the glass broke, and it crumbled and fell all the way into a pile of ashes. I was thinking about those two boys, Sister Bessie told me last Sunday when I prayed, when I called her over there, and I was asking her something about one of her loved ones, and she said, "You hear about those two over here out across the Ashton Bridge? That big rock cliff, 175 feet up to the top of it, according to the paper. Those boys was out joyriding in their 20s. One of them one day prior on a Saturday, that happened on a Sunday. One day prior, they went and stopped, one of them did, into a liquor store and bought some liquor and alcohol. The next day rolled around, they got in that dune buggy. They rolled around, climbed up to the top of that mountain, rode on those paths, having fun. Little did they know, nobody would have thought this would have happened. I feel God in this place this morning. They did not realize it'd be their last day upon earth. Hallelujah, 4-speed, a manual transmission in it with a clutch and a reverse in it. And they pulled up there and they backed that thing around at the edge of that rock cliff. And they were pointed away from the rock cliff and away from the river. No doubt they sat there probably teeming the bottle up of alcohol. And they got ready to leave. You know how wild boys are, Brother Peel. They like to pop the clutch on the thing and spin the dirt. And no doubt that one behind the steering wheel, he thought, "I'll pop the clutch and I'll peel the dirt out and watch the dirt go out over top of that rock cliff." But little did he know, Ruthie, that the thing was in reverse. Oh God! Oh God! And popped the clutch on the thing and it went backwards. And I can see them men, oh God, this is it, this is it. When their stomach seems to come up in their throat, 175 feet free fall, down to the bottom of the hill, hallelujah, bouncing off of the rocks. Little did they know that their bodies would come to a dead still, hallelujah, and that dune buggy would roll to a dead still, but their soul kept on going. I said their soul kept on traveling. It kept on going down the steepest grade that they've ever been down. Years ago, I used to ride roller coasters, and I know it takes your breath, but I was thinking what they was thinking when they was going backward, hallelujah, looking up at the top of that hill, knowing any moment their brains would be busted out on the rocks. Oh God, I forfeited my soul. I wasted my life. I didn't give God my heart. I'm not prepared to meet God. Here I am lost. God. Oh God. It's a happening every day. It's a happening right now. People are dying as I'm up here with this microphone. People are shooting up with the drugs. They're popping the pills. They're putting the needle in their veins. Oh God. Oh God. The alcoholic in an awful, worn out garments, tattered and greasy and soiled, beardy and greasy long hair, is on the riverbank now, steaming up the pottle and drinking the liquor. Oh, for the grace of God. Oh, for the mercy of God, Brother Wilbur. You'd have been dead years ago. You'd have filled a Christless grave. You would have went to an alcoholic's hell. Oh, Lord. Raise your hand and say, have mercy. Raise your hand this morning and say, have mercy, God. Have mercy upon the sinner. Have mercy upon the backslider. It could be my son or my daughter. It could be my mommy and my daddy, my brother, my sister, my grandparents up in age. Oh, gray-headed and feeble that has turned God away for years and years. My Lord, they're hobbled around on a cane or a walker and not realize that their heart could stop beating and they'll lift up their eyes in hell. Oh, God! I pray to God every one of us don't be the same when we walk out of this place this morning. This dilly-dallying around in 1, 2, 3 minute prayer ain't getting it. It won't. I'm going to tell you something, a 30-minute prayer ain't going to get it. She stood right there and the God, anointing of God was on her that everybody that preached or worked in this pulpit to pray 1 hour before they step in here. Woe is me. I'm pointing to me. I'm not pointing to you. We get the fire of God and the anointing of God in the pulpit. When we get the fear of God back in the church. When we get a divine burden prayed down from God. When we have eyes like Jesus has eyes. That we see how Jesus sees. When He's moved with compassion upon the multitudes. As He sees them without sheep, without having a shepherd. Oh God, it ought to tear our heart out of us. Be moved with compassion and have a burden for the lost sheep. Oh God. People are leaving this world every day, given, going into eternity lost without God, without hope. We, the church, must reach them. We've got to pull them out of the fire. We've got to rescue them. I see a world all around us this morning ripe under the harvest. The fields are wide and they're ready for harvest. Jesus said in John 4, the disciples went into town and they left Jesus alone at the well in Samaria. Jesus stayed behind for a reason. He knew there would come a poor lost soul to draw water. You couldn't put a price tag really upon one soul. When we think like God thinks, and when we have the mind of Christ, the love of Christ will constrain us to go the extra mile to reach one soul. A lonely woman who needed salvation. The Bible said Jesus must needs go through Samaria. He knew that lost soul would be coming who needed a drink of living water. Carrying a natural water pot, but oh, Jesus sat thus on the well. He saw beyond that stone water pot. He saw the lost condition of an eternal soul, lost and headed to eternity without God. Oh, Lord God, God's heart is rended this morning. I wonder if God cries, one song says. Another one says that there's tears in the eyes of the Lamb. Hallelujah. It seems like we've gotten saved, Lord. We've gotten our loved ones in or however we must be feeling this morning. But we ain't trying to reach out to others. I said it just seems like we ain't got the burden that we really need for other souls. How many in the church today would go out of your way just to witness to one soul? How many would take the time? How many would lay the tool down and say, God, I'll go knock on that sinner man's door. I'll pick up the phone. I'll visit the hospital, Lord. Jesus' highest aim and His greatest desire was to reach out to the lost. Still, His greatest interest today is the souls of men and women. By the time the disciples came back, Brother Gary, from buying food in the town, Jesus had already won another soul. Woo! Proverbs 11 and 30, he that winneth souls is wise. Could you raise your hand and say, God, teach me, Lord, how to win souls. Come on, I want you to mean it. Lord, teach me how to witness. Give me the right words, Lord. Oh, teach me, Jesus. Give me wisdom, God. Give me wisdom. How to approach, Lord. How to plant the seed, Lord. How to sow the seed, Lord. And if nothing else, if I ain't got good enough vocabulary, Lord, maybe I don't. But God, let them feel a love in my heart and a love in my soul. Hallelujah. Telling Brother Ron just the other day, Sister Barb, I actually could have stood up on something on my job and preached. That's how much of the Spirit I felt. I felt it down in my hands. I said, I'm going to have to do something with this. Being all around on her job. God says, you see that man sitting up there in that pulpit where they run that machine? He's a backslider. I said, here I go. I walked into him. He was sitting there. There was another boy here. They worked together, and I waited my turn. I found out a lot of times it's the very best to wait one-on-one. I waited and I waited. It probably took 5 minutes. Fire was a-burning. Please, buddy, God sent him out of there. I'm after this one right here. I done witnessed to him. He finally got his hard hat on and he went out there to do his work. I walked over to Rick. I'd witnessed to him before. I said, Rick, pointing my finger, I said, have you gotten in church yet? No, not yet. I said, you better. I said, God really loves you. I said, the Scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I said, oh, what God has done to keep us out of hell. Brother Gary, I stood there and I stretched my hands out. I said, Jesus has the nail prints in His very hands today. Proof that He died on the cross just for you to save you. I said, He wore the crown of thorns that you could wear a crown of life. He took the nails through His feet, through His hands. I said, He loves you, son. Get back to God. About that time, it was over with. The other boy came back in. I believe you could have took a feather and just pushed him right out of the seat. Come on. Wouldn't it be nice? And I know it's hard to do in this age when we have jobs and occupations. But if we could be in such a state of mind, God help us press into a state of mind that where we walk with a prayer upon our heart. That we're ready. We have missed golden opportunities because we wasn't spiritually in the right place. God has sent people across our paths probably for the last time. And we missed it. We missed it. Jesus, in all His compassion and love, reached out to this one soul. He saw her in the eternal worth of her soul, her precious soul. He took the time to deal with her one-on-one. The disciples came to Jesus there at the well and said, after that blessed soul left with joy, said, Master, eat. We brought you some food. We know you're hungry. You've got to be hungry, Jesus. But you know what Jesus said? There was only one thing on His mind. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus turned to His disciples and He said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life." How many wants to be a soul winner? Could you pray and ask God to give you a burden for the lost? Lord, let me feel. Feel in, dear Lord. Let them feel in me the seriousness and the love reaching out, God, and touching their heart. Give me wisdom and knowledge on how to approach people, what to say and how to say it. Something that will get a hold of their attention and that I can sow the seed and point them to Jesus and eternal life. In the Scripture, Jesus said, "Don't put it off. The fields all around you are white, and soon it will be too late. The wheat will all die in the field. Now is the time, not tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late, folks. Today is the day of salvation." Jeremiah was called a weeping prophet. You know what he said? He said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaying of the daughter of my people." He said, "The summer is ended, and the harvest is past." And he said, "Still we're not saved." You know how I look at that? I've got an apple tree in my back lawn. Mommy and Daddy, they love the apples. They'll come up and pick them up and take them home and cut them up and freeze them in the freezer. But some of them, if they don't get them in time, they'll drop off on the branch and drop down on the ground, and they'll begin to have a little spot in them that'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know what that fruit's doing? It's spoiling, and it's a rotting, and it won't be very long. It'll rot and go right back down into the ground. That ain't even half of a picture of the wheat that God represents the sinners of being white unto harvest. But it's going to die out there in the field. The fruit is falling from the limbs, Sister Ruthie, and it's falling to the ground and it's rotting it away. And nobody will stretch forth a hand to reap the harvest. Nobody, it seems like, will go out in the field and say, "Lord, I'll work for You today in the field, and I'll be a laborer in Your vineyard." Oh God, where's the labors? Brother Tom, where's the witnesses? Where's the testimonies? Ripe, sister. They're ripe. Now. Now. Not 4 months from now. They're ripe right now. And they're waiting for a God-ordained, God-filled, anointed vessel to come and bring them the way of salvation. That's all they're waiting on. They don't know it. They're waiting on a vessel that's prayed up. Come to them and shake their hand. Say, "Jesus loves you. I love you and I've been praying for you. Won't you come to church tonight, this weekend? Come on. Hallelujah. We're having a revival. We're getting ready to go in one." Waiting. God's waiting on the harvesters. That's you and I. Ready and waiting on the workers and the witnesses. A burden to come to them. They're waiting on a word from the Lord. They're waiting on your testimony, waiting for you to reach out to them. We've got what they're looking for. Yes, we do. We've got what they need. Can you say amen? They're waiting on our intercessory prayer. How long has it been since you had a true burden for the lost? Can I ask you? How long has it been since your heart has broken, literally broken, over sinners? How long has it been since you wept genuine tears over souls? Jesus' great commission is not just for preachers. You don't have to be a preacher to be a soul winner. Hallelujah. That's what He said. Did you hear, Brother Gary? The harvest truly is plenteous. There's plenty to do, plenty to win, and the labors are few. God spoke to me one time, and just for what it's worth, I was going down the street of Huntington. I saw people over on the sidewalks. And the Lord told me, I felt like He told me, He said, if you don't have a burden for others, you're not where you should be yourself. You want me to tell you again? If we don't have a burden and a desire with all of our heart for others to see them saved, healed, and delivered, we're not where we should be ourselves. Something's wrong. I think the oil has leaked out, don't you? You all probably didn't come here for this morning, did you? Are you moved with compassion? But when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. You know what Paul said concerning the Galatian church, Sister Barb? They hadn't gotten saved under his ministry. But these false teachers came back and began to preach to him and get him. Christ be formed in you. Now notice, the Scripture's true. In other words, to win them people back, Paul said, I'm going to have to travail in birth. Give birth to a baby? No. But it'll be just as much pain, but it'll be spiritual in here. I travail in birth. Can you imagine Paul as he said, I pray exceedingly night and day that I might see your face and perfect that which is lacking in your faith? Can you hear Paul as he groaned and cried in travail? Have you ever heard anybody? My mother-in-law used to get under the heaviest groans I ever heard in my life when souls were in the midst. I remember in the 4th Street Revival. Burden, soul, the Holy Ghost. It wasn't tongues. It was a groaning. It was a deep utterance from here, a deep groaning inside. It was like her heart was tearing out of her. Oh, the tears flowed. Paul said, I travail again in birth, spiritually speaking, until Christ be formed back in you again. I believe our prayers mean everything. I believe sometimes we can pray it through in the prayer closet and know God's going to move. It's just a matter of time. We prayed it through and we've got the witness that God has moved and is going to move. I heard one preacher say, he said, I pray through in my prayer closet and when I get up behind the sacred desk. He said, I've had the Lord show me things that would happen in the congregation, in the service. He said, because I got in a spirit of prayer in the prayer closet. And he said, the things that I saw in a vision in my spirit, he said, I'd be a preaching and those very things took place because he prayed them through. We don't really realize the power of prayer. We really don't. We ain't touched and scratched the surface of what prayer will do. I believe it. How many's going to pray for the service tonight? Jeremiah the weeping prophet was torn over his generation as he looked around him on every side. He saw the lost condition of the people. He observed their backslidden state. He saw them spoiled by the enemy. He said, mine eyes do fail with tears and my bowels are troubled. Here's the burden of God. If you've got a real burden for souls, this is what you'll feel. He said, mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth. That's how you'll feel under a true burden. We ain't prayed hard enough to get under. Is it that you all don't believe? You're believing that? Is it that we're believing that something's wrong if we press to that point? And the devil says, what are you acting that way for? Huh?
Is it just, I'm laying me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, bless me, my four, no more, Jesus, until I wake in the morn? Is that the type of prayer? God says real, true, divine, intercessory prayer, it'll feel like your insides are ripping out. I'm telling you, tears stream coming to church this morning. Stream. I groaned. Mary, look at me, and I groaned. It's for a reason. It's for a reason. Maybe the Lord's showing us. God, if I don't get a hold of you, for those that I work with and those of my family, who will? Did you know one preacher one time, he said, God, your mark is upon somebody. Everybody's got their mark upon somebody else. Only you can win that precious soul. I believe that. Only you, Sister Barb, could reach a certain one. Only God knows who it is. Maybe somebody you work with or somebody you'll run into even shopping. Somebody has got your mark upon them, and we're going to miss our opportunity unless we pray it through. Let's don't leave the house anymore. Help me. I've worked a lot of hours this week. I fought battles this week physically. But I'd get up and I'd still pray before I'd leave the house. Brushing the sleep out of my eyes and have to stand and raise my hand and pray. Keep from falling back asleep to get a hold of God. Somebody, Brother Gary, sure as I'm living, they said when you was down at that funeral home the other evening, last Sunday evening, Brother Gary began to witness. Somebody's wiping the tears from their eyes. A sinner. Sinner. Wipe the tears. We've got their answer. It's right in here. Why don't we unleash it? Why don't we just open up and say, Lord God, use me. Jesus, if you want me to weep right in front of them, let me cry. I pulled my glasses off on my job several months ago. This boy was having trouble. He was working with me. He since left. He went to another department. His wife kept calling in there all night long. Their daughter jumped out the window and jumped in a car with somebody. Took off down the road. Trouble in the home. His boy was reckless. And I'd answer the phone. I'd hand it because I was sitting there close to the phone. I'd hand the phone to him. He's in his 40s. These kids are early 20s. And something got a hold of me. And when he got off on that phone, I walked over there and I began to tell him my testimony and how Mommy prayed for me. I pulled my glasses off and I was wiping the tears. My eyes. He looked up at me in tears. Sister Jean filled his eyes. I said, and he, none of his family goes to church. Him and his wife and his son and his daughter don't go to church. I said, what you need to do, you need to take them to church. What you need to do, let Jesus come in your heart. He came back next Sunday. He said, guess what? He said, guess what we did? And I said, what? He said, I took my family to church. Holy, holy. Show people you care. Raise your hand one more time. God, help me, Lord, not to be ashamed, not to conceal my feelings, God, not to hide how I really feel. If I feel like breaking down in front of them, God, break me, Lord, break me. Maybe the tears will be the only route that they'll see Jesus. Maybe it will be. We're living in a tearless society. People are only broken, seems like, over things of the natural and the world, the worldly. But the godly sorrow and the godly brokenness. How long has it been since we wept over souls and cried, Maria, over some soul? Let them see the tears in our eyes. My mommy would stop me at the door, and them boys out there, and I know I've told it 1,000 times here. They'd be out there in a 396 Chevelle Midnight Blue, Krager Mags racing tires on the back of that car, 300 and some horsepower engine in it, and it loud and just rocking the windows. My mommy'd stop me at the door, not having big old high platform shoes on. Sister Barb, I'm telling you, they were 3 inches down here, and they were about 1.5 inches here.
mustache and goatee and had it black, jet black like the devil. Nobody can. And I'd get to that door. I remember one particular time I had my jacket draped over my arm. The boys are honking the horn. Mommy said, wait a minute, son, you go in there and get that family Bible. My mommy had a burden. She said, I stood at the kitchen sink, and she said, I was washing dishes. She said, honey, and I saw your hands upon the steering wheel. And she said, I let loose of the dishes. And she said, with the dishwater dripping off of them, she said, I raised my hand and said, God, I can't save him, but would you reach out there and bring my son home? Tears. Mommy never did hide her feelings. She never would. She'd get a hold. She'd put that finger in it. It looked like it was that long. She'd point it right in my chest. She said, honey, your dad and I can't go with you out there, but there's somebody watching everything you do. And you know if you die in a car accident or something happens to you, you know who you're going to go. You're going to be like the rich man lifting up your eyes in hell. And my mommy, tears would well up in her eyes, and she would wipe her eyes as I walked out the door. I've come home as high as 5 o'clock in the morning, Brother Beale, not even hardly realizing how I got there. Took that door key to the front door. I want you to listen now. What a burden will do for you. Slipping into the key, not knowing my mommy was standing right there in front of the door. Boys let me out. I guess the car woke them up. Sometimes she knew when I pulled in the driveway. And I pushed that door open, and my mommy standing right there on that carpet. Her eyes red with tears. She said, I prayed, honey, God would bring you back safe. Brother Raymond, a knot would come up in my throat like a golf ball. I couldn't swallow it down. A burden. Can I tell you, I'm a living witness that a burden will get a hold of souls. It'll do it. I'm going to try to leave it with you. The real power of a genuine burden. It'll do something. It'll do great wonders. Prayers this morning that's keeping your loved ones out of hell.